Dear Heavenly Father, as we have again assembled here to hear the message from your kingdom, we ask that you would come to be with us, that you would guide our speech, you would open your word, for your honor and glory, and for the benefit of our life of faith. Dear Father, we pray in behalf of those that are experiencing trials of this life, that you would comfort them and encourage them, as only you can do. We pray in behalf of those that are wandering in the darkness of this world, that do not know of your kingdom or have lost the way to heaven, that you would allow the light of your Spirit to continue to shine so that they might see that there is a kingdom here where their sins can be forgiven. And we yet turn to thee, dear Father, with that prayer that your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. With that hope and prayer that we could continue on that same theme which we heard from our dear brother this morning on this topic of Jesus reveals his divine power, we will again read from the Old Testament writings, this time reading from the 105th Psalm. We will read the first five verses, and then we will continue from the 39th verse to the end of the chapter. And in Jesus' name, we hear these words. O give ear unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. He spread the cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. He remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. This portion of God's word reminds us of the time of the children of Israel when God led them from the land of Egypt back into that land that he had promised to Abraham many generations before. And because God is all-knowing and he doesn't forget his promises. He led the people back to that land that he had promised Abraham. Now we might think that a promise is something that we could see or we would achieve in a short while. We would see the end of that promise. And in fact, oftentimes it seems for us when we make promises, we do see the end of the promises because we have a hard time keeping our promises. And so we see the end of our promises because it's hard for us sometimes to hold on to those things that we've promised. I've heard, and you have heard many times, and I've sometimes thought about it, maybe more than I should, but I've sometimes thought about it in this way, that when we've heard brothers and sisters, when they have endeavored to believe and they have asked for the gospel, and you have forgiven them, we've oftentimes heard that, "I promise to believe." And we know what happens to us. It is our sincere promise to always believe and to always live a life that's right before God. That's our promise. That's our endeavor. And we know that we fall so short even in a short time, even in that. But we wouldn't want to think that because we are so incapable of being perfect that we wouldn't attempt to do what's right. We wouldn't want to go down that road to think that, well, you know, it's so hard to do the right thing that, you know, I can just let it slip here and there. For we know what God's Word says, that God is a gracious Heavenly Father, and He will forgive us our sins, and He wants to forgive us. But He wants us to live with joy and peace in our heart here on the earth. He doesn't want us to live in sin, because when we live in sin, it's not a very joyful endeavor. At least that's been my experience. When there's sins on my conscience, it certainly doesn't bring joy to my heart. Certainly when we fall into sin, it might bring pleasure to us, our flesh, but it doesn't bring joy to the heart. When we fall into sin, I would say in order to do sin, we have to turn away from God. We have to go in the opposite direction of God in order to partake of sin. And so we come to God to put those sins away. This portion of God's Word, which we have read this morning, reminds us of the Old Testament travelers that traveled through the wilderness, and we can say that their journey was a parallel picture to an endeavor of faith. From our first day here on the earth until the day that we leave this earth. They left the land of Egypt, and they were on a journey. And they had a destination. And we know their destination was that land that God had promised to Abraham. And I don't know how many years that was, but I think they lived in Egypt 430 years, was it? I don't remember. It was a long time, it was many generations. But God had promised to Abraham that he would give that land to Abraham. Well, Abraham had passed away from this life many, many years before this took place. But God didn't forget his promise. He had promised to Abraham that Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, as Abraham sat there in the darkness of night one evening, and God told him to look at the stars of the sky. And we sing about it in one of our songs, and I don't remember what the song is, but it's a beautiful song that we sing. And Abraham looked towards the sky, and God told him, if you could number the stars of the sky. No man can number the stars of the sky. When it's When you first look up, it doesn't seem like there's very many, but you know how it is when your eyes adjust to the darkness at night and you start to look, especially on a dark night. The more you look, the more you see. And so that was God's promise to Abraham. And God doesn't break his promises. God has given you also a promise, each and every one of you. What did he promise you? Do you remember? He promised to bring you to heaven at the end of your life, if you believe God. Abraham, as the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and that was counted unto him for righteousness. And so we also, we believe God. We believe what God has promised. That's why we come to the services of God's children, because it seems like even as we heard this morning from day to day, as we heard from our dear brother about our leaky vessels, it's our goal to live a life that's correct and right before God, but we are as leaky vessels. This seems like the strength just drains out of us. And we come to the hearing of God's word, where God can again strengthen that faith that he's placed in your heart as a gift, that Holy Spirit that wants to deliver your soul to heaven. And so we can say that God is in you. He's in you with through his Spirit. And he wants to bring your soul to heaven. So our text begins with this reminder that we would give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. The children of Israel, as we know, that the Psalms were written in a way that I would guess the melody and the words, they rhymed, but they've been translated into English and the words don't quite rhyme like they did in the Old Testament writings. But they sang these songs, many of these. And so this psalm writer is reminding the children of God to give thanks unto the Lord. How often do we remember to give thanks? Oftentimes, at least for myself, and it's not something that I'm proud of, but it's unfortunate, but I remember when I speak to God through prayer, I remember to ask him for things. But it would be good to remember to thank him for what we have too. For we can see and we can look at our lives, at least I'll have to say, looking at my life, I can hardly believe how much God has blessed me, blessed my life. And I'm sure it's the same way for you. I've been able to live upon this earth for, well, I don't need to tell you how many years old I am, but it's been quite a long time. Somehow or another, I'm still able to believe. And I hope that I can always believe until the end. I hope God never gets tired of me, even though it seems like so many times I give him so many reasons to. Our text continues here. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face for evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Certainly as the children of Israel, when especially those that seen these things that were recorded here in this psalm. It speaks to us. There's 45 verses of this psalm, and we've only read 10 of them. But it kind of lists in order some of the blessings that God gave to those children of Israel as they traveled across the land of Egypt. And not only that, but I think it even goes before that. It speaks of how there was a man of God who was Joseph. It goes back to Joseph's time. And Joseph was the first one to go to Egypt. And we remember that he didn't go there on his own plans, we could say. We remember how he ended up there. We could say we wouldn't have to think it was a misfortune. How his brothers, there was 12 brothers in that family, and Joseph was the second to the youngest of the brothers. But he was a believing young man, maybe 17 years old. And remember that his brothers, they didn't like him because it seemed like his father favored him. And I would guess that his brothers thought in this way because they had lost the way to heaven. And the father, their father Jacob, was a believing father. And this son Joseph was a believer. He was like you and I. And it is as believers that we have a special bond that we have with other believers. And it's hard for us to explain what that is, but it's a bond that's stronger than even family ties. But so it was that the other brothers became jealous of Joseph. And they called him a dreamer and so on. They didn't have very nice things to say to him. But so it was that they took him captive and they put him in a well. And we remember the stories, even you young students here that have studied that story in Sunday school. How they sold their brother to some Ishmaelites that were passing through. And it's hard for us to imagine doing that to one of our siblings. But so it was that when you're living in sin and unbelief, it's a pretty powerful spirit or way to live. And it causes us to do things or would cause people to do things that they wouldn't do if they were believers. That's for certain. I don't think any one of you would, as a believer, would sell your brother or sister to some other group of people. But so it was that this was God's plan for Joseph, because God had a plan for his people. He had a promise that he had given to Abraham, and so he went there to the land of Egypt. And there was difficult things that Joseph had to endure there. But he was a believer, and the Bible speaks about Joseph, and it kind of gives us an idea of what his personality was like. He was a happy man. What do you suppose the source of his happiness came from? I would guess, maybe in an outward way, we're not always so cheerful, but we have moods that we deal with and so on. But as a general rule, as believers, there's something that we have that I would say that we're happy people. Even in the midst of sorrow, there's joy in your heart. For we're God's people. We're God's chosen people here upon the earth. We're at peace with God. Even in the midst of sorrow and difficulties of this life, we know that this is only a place where we will journey for a short while. Even as it speaks about Abraham, that he was a pilgrim here upon the earth. He was seeking for a country that wasn't here on the earth. It was a country there in heaven. And so our text begins in the 39th verse, or continues in the 39th verse, where the psalm writer says that he spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light in the night. Figuratively, we could say that God shelters us here in His kingdom. We might suffer persecution from the people of this world, and we might seem to be foolish people. But we just go about our daily calling and our daily work, and we have jobs that we do just like anybody else here in this world. But we believe God. And because we believe God, we live our lives in a way that is according to God's word. And for that reason, we might receive some ridicule. And the Bible says that we should expect that. Jesus says that they persecuted me, and they will persecute you also. And it's one of those things that we don't wish for, but it's just a fact of life as a believer that we will suffer some persecution here in this world. But the Bible says that He spread a cloud for a covering. We know as the children of Israel traveled across the desert. I don't know how many miles it is from Egypt, but they didn't just go in a straight line from Egypt. It was a wandering course that they took. And when they first came to the land of Canaan, I don't recall how long it was, if it was a year or two after they left Egypt. And we remember that they sent out those spies to look at that land that God had promised to give them. I would guess most of them probably had never seen that land. But they believed it would be a good place to go. And so when they left Egypt, they had that in their minds that we're going to the promised land. They had heard stories of what that land was like. And so in their minds, they had an idea. Maybe not a perfect idea, but they had an idea what it was like. Even as we today travel towards the promised land of heaven, we haven't seen it, but we have an idea what it might be like. And so God sheltered them through those hot days there as they traveled the wilderness between, if you look on a map or if you look at pictures of that land, It's a pretty barren land, at least in some areas, and it's hot, it's desert. And so God even sheltered them from the heat of the sun for their journey. And then it says also that He gave them a fire to give them light in the night. We can say as we travel here upon the earth that we travel in a dark place. This earth is The unbelieving world is considered a dark place. And so we travel here upon the earth, but there's a light that we have that will guide us all the way to heaven. Even as that pillar of fire guided the children of Israel as they went across that barren land, and they traveled during the day and they traveled at night. And the people asked, and He brought quails, and He satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out, and they ran in the dry places like a river. We remember as the children of Israel left that land of Egypt, they took their cattle and they took those things that they had. And I think the Egyptian people even gave them jewels and gold and silver and all kinds of those types of items. So they didn't leave empty-handed. But they had things to take with them. And we remember, and we can read in God's word, how as the days went by and the weeks and the months, the people began to get tired. And they began to complain. And it was frustrating for Moses. The people came to Moses and they were in that place, and I think there was actually one of the texts for this Sunday speaks to us of where they're in that dry place, there was no water. And the people began to chide with Moses and ask him, "Why did you bring us here?" And we could imagine if we were in a desert and there was no water, how we could get those thoughts. But Moses turned to God for help. As though the people thought it was Moses' problem at that point in time that they did not have water. They forgot that, you know, there's one that we can turn to for help here. We can turn to God. God has promised us, even as we heard through our dear brother this morning, when you come into the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else you need will be given unto you. And so have you found that to be a truth here, dear brothers and sisters? Certainly we have wants in this life, but I would guess if you're honest, you can say that certainly you've been taken care of. I'm sure most of us would want more, but we have enough. We have enough to simply believe in the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father. God certainly hasn't left us lacking. But there are those times, and we have heard this morning how there were believers that seemed like they were at their last amount. Even as the widow that we heard about this morning. She was at her last, had a little bit of oil left in her vessel. And it seemed like even then her family was going to be taken away. But we heard how God came and He blessed that home. And He gave everything that widow needed. Probably much more than she would ever dreamed of. For our text continues, "For He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant. And He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws." God wants us to live by faith. He wants us to endeavor by faith on the way to heaven. He wants you to live in joy with joy in your hearts here in this life. He doesn't want you to travel with sin on your conscience. For I'm sure we've all tried to do that. And we know that there's no joy there in the heart when we're carrying those matters of sin with us. And we know when those sins have been forgiven, what happens there in the heart. God renews that strength and those promises to endeavor by faith, rejecting sin, not conforming to the things of the world as we heard from our brother this morning, but conforming to the things of God's Word, trusting in that. And then that way we know we will make it to heaven. We won't make it to heaven by following after sin or following after the world. There's only one way to heaven, and that's by faith. By faith in God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid for your sin debt. Jesus doesn't want you to travel with burdens here in your heart. But He paid a ransom for your soul with His own blood. I'm sure we've all, at some point in time, have suffered a little bit here in this life. Maybe we've taken the punishment of somebody else that we really didn't deserve. But Jesus went willingly for you. He knew that there was no possibility that you could make it to heaven on your own. So He did everything for you. He shed His blood, His innocent blood, so that you could gather those blood drops in your heart, that you could put your sins away, and you could remain believing as a child here in this kingdom of God, trusting in God, that He will bring you to heaven at the end of your life. For He brought His people with joy and His chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. When the children of Israel had left the land of Egypt, when they went into the land of Canaan, when they inherited that land, everything was there for them. They didn't have to plant those gardens, but it was all there. It was all prepared. Certainly, as they occupied that land, then they had to renew those plantings from year to year. But when we make it to heaven, Jesus has gone there to prepare everything for you. Everything will be waiting for you in heaven. There will be no want any longer. You will have everything that you need and much more. For you will not have the sin-corrupt portion to drag you down, to tempt you into sin. Be encouraged, dear brothers and sisters, to remain believing, endeavoring by faith on the way to heaven. Be encouraged, be emboldened. You can believe, you can uplift your hearts to God this evening and receive the message of His kingdom. You can believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And that is the message that I long to hear this evening also, that can I still believe my doubts and sins forgiven? And so it is that we make those new promises to believe as children. Make those new promises to fight against those sins and fight against our own flesh, the desires of our flesh. To observe God's word and His statutes. For we know that there's many more blessings when we are obedient to God. God doesn't bless our disobedience, but He blesses our faith. Be encouraged to believe this evening, dear brothers and sisters, all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this evening in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.